He could have very fine control over a few tendrils of it, but usually he opted for large numbers of them, probably because it was more intimidating. Controlling so many was more difficult, and he could basically just grab, constrict, or stab. Every patch of darkness around me started forming spears that sought my blood. I dodged between them, eventually having to roll to the ground to get under a group of attacks. Doing a dodging roll on a steel floor is not a comfortable experience. When I came up, my hip was smarting. I leaped over several of the steel crowd control stanchions, sweating and shining my flashlight at any suspicious shadows. I couldn't turn it all directions at once, though, and I had to keep spinning to avoid the ones at my back. I paid vague attention to the chatter from the other reckoners in my ear, though I was too busy trying to not be killed to digest much of it. It seemed that things were in chaos. Prof had revealed himself to hold Steelheart's attention. Abraham had been located because of his shot to save me. Both he and Cody were on the run, fighting enforcement soldiers. A blast rocked the stadium, the sound traveling down the hallway and washing over me like stale cola through a straw. I threw myself over the last of the steel stanchions and found myself shining the light frantically about me to stop spear after spear of blackness. Megan was no longer where she'd been standing. I could almost believe she'd been a trick of my mind. Almost. I can't keep this up, I thought, as a black spear struck my jacket and was rebuffed by the shielding. I could feel the hit through my sleeve, and the diodes on the jacket were beginning to flash. This jacket seemed a lot weaker than the one I'd worn before. Maybe it was a prototype. Sure enough, the next spear that caught me ripped through the jacket and sliced my skin. I cursed, shining the light on another patch of inky, oily blackness. Nightwielder was going to have me soon if I didn't change tactics. I had to fight smarter. Nightwielder has to be able to see me to use his spears on me, I thought. So he was nearby. Yet the hallway seemed empty. I stumbled, which saved me from a spear that nearly took off my head. Idiot, I thought. He could move through walls. He wouldn't just stand in the open. He'd barely be peeking out. All I needed to do was... There, I thought, catching a glimpse of a forehead and eyes peering out from the far wall. He looked pretty stupid, actually. Like a kid in the deep end of a pool, thinking he was invisible because he was mostly submerged. I shined the light on him and tried to get a shot off at the same time. Unfortunately, I'd switched hands so I could have the flashlight in my right hand, which meant I was firing with my left. Have I mentioned my thoughts on pistols and their accuracy? The shot went wild, like way wild. Like I came closer to hitting a bird flying above the stadium outside than I did Nightwielder. But the flashlight worked. I wasn't sure what would happen if his powers vanished while he was phasing through an object. Unfortunately, it looked like it didn't kill him. His face was jerked back through the wall as he became corporeal again. I didn't know what was on the other side of that wall. It was opposite the field. Was he outside then? I couldn't stop to look up the map on my phone. Instead, I ran for a nearby concession stand. We dug a tunnel through there, wrapping down through the floor. Hopefully, if I could keep moving while Nightwielder was outside, he'd have trouble tracking me down once he peeked in again. I got into the concession stand and crawled inside the tunnel. Guys, I whispered into my mobile as I moved. I saw Megan.
You what?
Tia asked. I saw Megan. She's alive.
David, Abraham said. She's dead. We all know this.
I'm telling you, I saw her.
Firefight, Tia said. He's trying to get to you.
As I crawled, I felt a sharp sinking feeling.
Of course, an illusion. But something felt wrong about that.
I don't know, I said. The eyes were right. I don't think an illusion could be that detailed, that lifelike.
Illusionists wouldn't be worth much if they weren't able to create realistic puppets, Tia said. They need to...
Abraham, not left. The other way. In fact, throw a grenade down there if you can.
Thanks,
he said, puffing slightly. I could hear an explosion twice, once through his microphone. A distant portion of the stadium shook.
Phase 3 is a failure, by the way. I got off a shot on Steelheart right after I revealed myself. It didn't do anything.
Phase 3 was Prof's theory, that one of the faithful could hurt Steelheart. If Abraham's bullets had bounced off, then it wasn't viable. We only had two other ideas. The first was my theory of crossfire. The other was the theory that my father's gun or bullets were in some way special.
How's Prof holding up? Abraham asked.
He's holding up, Tia said.
He's fighting Steelheart, Cody said. I've only been able to see a little, but... Sparks! I'm going offline for a moment. They're almost on me.
I crouched in the narrow tunnel, trying to sort through what was happening. I could still hear a lot of gunfire and the occasional blast.
Prof's keeping Steelheart distracted, Tia said. We still don't have any confirmed crossfire hits, though.
We're trying, Abraham said. I'll get this next group of soldiers to follow me around the corridor, and then let Cody goad them into firing across the field at him. That might work. David, where are you? I might need to set off a distraction blast or two to flush out the soldiers behind cover on your side.
I'm taking the second concessions tunnel, I said. I'll be coming out on the ground floor near the bear. I'll head westward after that. The bear meant a giant stuffed bear that had been part of some promotion during the football season, but which was now frozen in place like everything else.
Got it,
Abraham said.
David, Tia said, if you saw an illusion, it means you've got both Firefight and Nightwielder on you. On one hand, that's good. We were wondering where Firefight ran off to. It's bad for you, though. You've got two powerful epics to deal with.
I'm telling you, that wasn't an illusion, I said, cursing as I tried to juggle the gun and the flashlight. I searched in my cargo pocket, fishing out my industrial tape. My father had told me to always keep that industrial tape handy. I'd been surprised, as I grew older, how good that advice had been.
She was real, Tia. David, think about that for a moment. How would Megan have gotten here?
I don't know, I said. Maybe they... did something to revive her.
We flash burned everything in the hideout. She'd have been cremated.
There would have been DNA, maybe, I said. Maybe they have an epic who can bring someone back or something like that.
Durkan's paradox, David. You're searching too hard.
I finished taping the flashlight to the side of the barrel of my rifle. Not on the top, as I wanted to be able to use the sights. That left the weapon off balance and clunky, but I felt I'd still be better with it than the handgun. I stuffed that into its holster under my arm. Durkan's paradox referred to a scientist who had studied and pondered the epics during the early days. He'd pointed out that with epics breaking known laws of physics, literally anything was possible. But he warned against the practice of theorizing that every little irregularity was caused by an epic's powers. Often that kind of thinking led to no actual answers.
Have you ever heard of an epic who could restore another person to life? Tia said.
No, I admitted. Some could heal, but none could reanimate someone else.
And weren't you the one who said we were probably facing an illusionist?
Yes, but how could they know what Megan looked like? Why wouldn't they use Cody or Abraham to distract me? Someone they know is here.
They would have her on video from the Comflux hit, Tia said. They're using her to confuse you, unhinge you.
Nightwielder had nearly killed me while I was staring at the phantom Megan.
You were right about Firefight, Tia continued. As soon as that fire epic was out of sight of the enforcement officers, it vanished from my video feeds. That was just an illusion meant to distract. The real Firefight is someone else, David. They're trying to play you so that Nightwielder can kill you. You have to accept this. You're letting your hopes cloud your judgment.
She was right. Sparks, but she was right. I halted in the tunnel, breathing in and out deliberately, forcing myself to confront it. Megan was dead. Now Steelheart's minions were playing with me. It made me angry. No, it made me furious. It also brought up another problem. Why would they risk revealing Firefight like that?
letting him vanish after getting out of sight when it was likely we had the place under surveillance. Using an illusion of Megan? These things exposed Firefight for what he was. That gave me a chill. They knew. They knew we were on to them. So they didn't need to pretend. They also knew we'd placed the UV floodlights, I thought. And where some of us were hiding. Something strange was going on. Tia, I think—
Will you fools stop blathering?
Prof said, his voice rough, harsh.
I need to concentrate.
It's all right, John, Tia said comfortingly. You're doing all right.
Bah, idiots, all of you.
He's using the tensors, I thought. It's almost like they turn him into another person. There wasn't time to think about that. I simply hoped we all lived long enough for Prof to apologize. I climbed out of the tunnel behind some tall steel equipment cases and panned my rifle with mounted flashlight around the corridor. I was saved from the strike by a fluke. I thought I saw something in the distance, and I lunged toward it, trying to get more light on it. As I did, three spears of darkness struck at me. One sliced clean through the back of my jacket and cut a line through my flesh. Just another fraction of an inch, and it would have severed my spine. I gasped, spinning around. Nightwielder stood nearby in the cavernous room. I fired a shot at him, but nothing happened. I cursed, getting closer, rifle to my shoulder and the UV light streaming before me. Nightwielder smiled a devilish grin as I put a bullet through his face. Nothing. The UV wasn't working. I froze in place, panicked. Was I wrong about his weakness? But it had worked before. Why? I spun about, barely stopping a group of spears. The light dispersed them as soon as it touched them, so it was still working. So what was happening? Illusion, I thought, feeling stupid. Slants? How many times am I going to fall for that? I scanned the walls. Sure enough, I caught a glimpse of Nightwielder staring out from one of them toward me. He pulled back before I could fire, and the darkness fell motionless again. I waited, sweating, focused on that point. Maybe he'd peer out again. The fake Nightwielder was just to my right, looking impassive. Firefight was in the room somewhere, invisible. He could gun me down. Why didn't he? Nightwielder peeked out again, and I fired, but he was gone in an eye blink, and the shot ricocheted off the wall. He'd probably come at me from another direction, I decided, so I took off running. As I ran, I swiped the butt of my gun through the fake Nightwielder. As I expected, it passed right through, the apparition wavering faintly like a projected image. Explosions sounded. Abraham cursed in my ear.
What?
Tia asked.
Crossfire doesn't work, Cody said. We got a big group of soldiers to fire on each other through the smoke, without their realizing that Steelheart was in the middle. At least a dozen shots hit him, Abraham said. That theory is dead. I repeat, accidental fire does not hurt him.
Calamity, I thought. And I'd been so sure about that theory. I ground my teeth, still running. We're not going to be able to kill him, I thought. This is all going to be meaningless.
I'm afraid that I can confirm, Cody said. I saw the bullets hit too, and he didn't even notice.
He paused.
Prof, you're a machine. Just thought I'd say that.
Prof's only response was a grunt.
David, how are you handling Nightwielder? Tia asked. We need you to activate phase 4. Shoot Steelheart with your father's gun. It's all we have left.
How am I handling Nightwielder? I asked. Poorly. I'll get out there when I can. I continued jogging down the large, open concourse beneath the seating. Maybe if I could get outside, I'd have a better time of it. There were too many hiding places in here. He was waiting for me when I came out of that tunnel, I thought. They've got to be listening in on our conversations. That's how they knew so much about our initial setup. That, of course, was impossible. Mobile signals were unhackable. The Nighthawk Foundry made sure of that. And beyond that, the Reckoners were on their own network. Except Megan's mobile. It was still connected to our network. Had I ever mentioned to Prof and the others that she'd lost it in the fall? I'd assumed it was broken, but if it hadn't been... They listened in on our preparations, I thought. Did we mention over the lines that Limelight wasn't real? I thought hard, trying to remember our conversations over the last 3 days. I came up blank. Maybe we'd talked about it, but maybe not. The Reckoners tended to be circumspect about their conversations over the network, just to be extra careful. Further speculation was cut off as I spotted a figure in the hallway in front of me. I slowed, rifle to shoulder, drawing a bead on it. What would Firefight try this time? Another image of Megan, just standing there. She wore jeans and a tight red button-up shirt, but no Reckoner jacket, her golden hair pulled back in a shoulder-length ponytail. Wary, in case Nightwielder attacked me from behind, I moved past the illusion. It watched me with a blank expression, but didn't move otherwise. How could I find Firefight? He'd be invisible, probably. I wasn't certain he had that power, but it made sense. Ways of revealing an invisible epic ran through my mind. Either I had to listen for him, or I had to fog the air with something. Flour, dirt, dust. Maybe I could use the tensor somehow? Sweat trickled down my brow. I hated knowing that someone was watching me, someone I couldn't see. What to do? My initial plan to deal with Firefight had been to reveal I knew his secret, to scare him off as I had Nightwielder during the Conflux hit. That wouldn't work now. He knew we were onto him. He needed to see the Reckoners dead to hide his secret. Calamity, calamity, calamity! The illusion of Megan turned its head, following me as I tried to watch all corners of the room and listen for movement. The illusion frowned.
I know you, she said.
It was her voice. I shivered. A powerful epic illusionist would be able to create sounds with their images, I told myself. I know that's true. No need to be surprised. But it was her voice. How did Firefight know her voice?
Yes, she said, walking toward me. I do know you. Something about knees.
Her eyes narrowed at me.
I should kill you now.
Knees. Firefight couldn't know about that, could he? Had Megan called me that name over the mobile? They couldn't have been listening back then, could they? I wavered, my gun's sights on her. The illusion. Or was it Megan? Nightwielder would be coming. I couldn't just stand there, but I couldn't run either. She was walking toward me. Her arrogant expression made her look like she owned the world. Megan had acted like that before, but there was something more here. Her bearing was more confident, even though she had pursed her lips, perplexed. I had to know. I had to. I lowered the gun and leaped forward. She reacted, but too slowly, and I grabbed her arm. It was real. A second later, the hallway exploded. 38. I coughed, rolling over. I was on the ground, my ears ringing. Bits of trash burned nearby. I blinked away the after images in my eyes, shaking my head.
What was that? I croaked.
David,
Abraham said in my ear.
An explosion,
I said, groaning and pulling myself up to my feet. I looked around the hallway. Megan, where was she? I couldn't see her anywhere. She'd been real. I had felt her. That meant it wasn't an illusion, right? Was I losing my mind?
Calamity, Abraham said. I thought you were down the other end of the concourse. You said you'd go westward.
I ran to get away from Nightwielder, I said. I ran the wrong way. I'm a slonce, Abraham. Sorry.
My rifle. I saw the stock sticking out of a nearby pile of trash. I pulled it out. The rest of the gun wasn't attached.
Sparks, I thought. I'm having a devil of a time holding on to these lately. I found the rest of the gun nearby. It might still work, but without a stock, I'd be firing from the hip. The flashlight was still strapped to it, however, and still shining, so I snatched the whole thing up.
"What's your condition?" Tia asked, voice tense.
"A little stunned," I said, "but all right. It wasn't close enough to hit me with anything more than the concussion."
"Those would be amplified in these hallways," Abraham said. "Calamity, Tia. We're losing control of this situation." "Damn you all," Prof's voice said, sounding feral. "I want David out here now. Bring me that gun." "I'm coming to help you, lad," Cody said. "Stay put."
A sudden thought struck me. If Steelheart and his people really were listening in on our private line, I could use that. The idea warred with my desire to hunt for Megan. What if she was hurt? She had to be around here somewhere, and there seemed to be a lot more rubble in the hallway now. I needed to see if... No, I couldn't afford to be tricked. Maybe that had been Firefight wearing Megan's face to distract me. "Okay," I said to Cody. "You know the restrooms near the fourth bomb position? I'm going to hide in there until you arrive."
"Got it," Cody said.
I dashed away, hoping that Nightwielder, wherever he was, had been disoriented by the blast. I neared the restrooms I'd mentioned to Cody, but I didn't go into them as I'd said. Instead, I found a spot nearby and used my tensor to blast a hole into the ground. This was a place where I'd be relatively well hidden, but would also have a good view of the rest of the corridor, restrooms included. I dug the hole deep, then burrowed down in it, as Prof had taught me, using the dust to cover up. Soon, I was like a soldier in a foxhole, carefully hidden. I turned my mobile to silent and buried my half-rifle just under the surface of the dust, so the light from the flashlight was concealed. Then I watched the door to that restroom. The corridor fell silent, lit only by burning scraps.
"Is anyone there?"
a voice called into the hallway.
I'm hurt.
I tensed. That was Megan. It's a trick. It has to be. I scanned the dim room. There on the other side of the hallway, I saw an arm wedged in a mountain of rubble from the blast. Chunks of steel, some fallen girders from above. The arm twitched, and blood ran down the wrist. As I looked closer, I could see her face and torso in the shadows. She looked like she was only now beginning to stir, as if she'd been briefly knocked unconscious by the blast. She was pinned. She was hurt. I had to move to go help her. I stirred, but then forced myself down.
"Please," she said. "Please, someone, help me."
I didn't move.
"Oh, Calamity, is that my blood?"
she struggled.
"I can't move my legs."
I squeezed my eyes shut. How were they doing this? I didn't know what to trust. Firefight is doing it somehow, I told myself. She's not real. I opened my eyes. Nightwielder was emerging from the floor in front of the bathroom. He looked confused, as if he'd been inside looking for me. He shook his head and walked through the corridor, searching about him. Was that really him, or was it an illusion? Was any of this real? The stadium shook with another blast, but the gunfire outside was dying down. I needed to do something quickly, or Cody would stumble into Nightwielder. Nightwielder stopped in the center of the hallway and crossed his arms. His normal calm had been shattered, and he looked annoyed. Finally, he spoke.
"You're in here somewhere, aren't you?"
Dared I take the shot? What if he was the illusion? I could get myself killed by the real Nightwielder if I exposed myself. I turned carefully, examining the walls and floor. I saw nothing other than some darkness creeping from the shadows nearby. Tendrils moving like hesitant animals seeking food, testing the air. If Firefight was really pretending to be Megan, then shooting her would stop the illusions. I'd be left only with the real Nightwielder, wherever he was. But there was a good chance that the fallen Megan was a full illusion.
Sparks. The girders could be an illusion. Would a distant blast have really knocked those down? What if that was Firefight, though, wearing Megan's face so that if I touched her, I'd feel something real? I raised my father's gun and sighted on her bloodied face. I hesitated, heart pounding in my ears. Surely Nightwielder could hear that pounding. It was all that I could hear. What would I do to get to Steelheart? Shoot Megan? She's not real. She can't be real. But what if she is? Heartbeats like thunder. My breath held. Sweat on my brow. I made my decision and leaped from the foxhole, bringing up the rifle in my left hand, light shining forward, and the handgun in my right. I let loose with both, on Nightwielder, not Megan. He spun toward me as the light hit him, eyes wide, and the bullets ripped through him. He opened his mouth in horror, and blood sprayed out his back, his solid back. He dropped, turning translucent again the moment he got out of the direct line of my flashlight. He hit the ground and began to sink into it. He only sank halfway. He froze there, mouth open, chest bleeding. He solidified slowly. It was almost like the view from a camera coming into focus, half sunken in the steel floor. I heard a click and turned. Megan stood there, a gun in her hand. A handgun, a P226, just like she preferred to carry. The other version of her, the one trapped by rubble, vanished in a heartbeat. So did the girders.
I never did like him,
Megan said indifferently, glancing toward Nightwielder's corpse.
You just did me a favor. Plausible deniability and all of that.
I looked into her eyes. I knew those eyes. I did. I didn't understand how it was happening, but it was her. Never did like him. Calamity, I whispered. You're Firefight, aren't you? You always were. She said nothing, though her eyes flickered down toward my weapons, the rifle still held at my hip, the handgun in my other hand. Her eye twitched. Firefight wasn't male, I said. She was a woman. I felt my eyes go wide. That day in the elevator shaft, when the guards almost caught us, they didn't see anything in the shaft. You made an illusion. She was still staring at my guns. And then, when we were on the cycles, I said, you created an illusion of Abraham riding with us to distract the people following, to keep them from seeing the real him flee to safety. That's what I saw behind us after he split off. Why was she looking at my guns? But the Dowser, I said, it tested you, and it said you weren't an epic. No, wait. Illusions. You could just make it display anything you wanted. Steelheart must have known the Reckoners were coming to town. He sent you to infiltrate. You were the newest of the Reckoners before me. You never wanted to attack Steelheart. You said you believed in his rule. She licked her lips, then whispered something. She didn't seem to have been listening to anything I said. Sparks, she murmured. I can't believe that actually worked.
What?
You checkmated him, she whispered. That was amazing. Checkmated him? Nightwielder? Was that what she was talking about? She looked up at me, and I remembered. She was repeating one of our first conversations, following her shooting fortuity. She'd held a rifle at her hip and a handgun out forward, just like I had done to gun down Nightwielder. The sight seemed to have triggered something in her.
David, she said. That's your name. And I think you're very aggravating.
She seemed to only just be recalling who I was. What had happened to her memory?
Thank you, I said.
A blast rocked the stadium, and she looked over her shoulder. She still had the gun pointed at me. Whose side are you on, Megan? I asked.
My own,
she said immediately. But then she held her other hand to her head, seeming uncertain.
Someone betrayed us to Steelheart, I said. Someone warned him we were going to hit Comflux, and someone told him we were hacking the city cameras. Today, someone's been listening in on us, reporting to him what we've been doing. It was you.
She looked back at me and didn't deny it.
But you also used your illusions to save Abraham, I said. And you killed Fortuity.
I can buy that Steelheart wanted us to trust you, so he let you kill off one of his lesser epics. Fortuity was out of favor anyway. But why would you betray us, then help Abraham escape?
I don't know, she whispered.
Are you going to shoot me?
I asked, looking down the barrel of her gun. She hesitated.
Idiot. You really don't know how to talk to women, do you, Knees?
She cocked her head, as if surprised the words had come out. She lowered the gun, then turned and ran off.
Oh, I've got to follow her, I thought, taking a step forward.
Another explosion sounded outside. No, I ripped my eyes away from her fleeing form. I've got to get outside and help. I dashed past Nightwielder's corpse, still half submerged in steel, frozen, blood seeping down his chest, and headed for the nearest exit out onto the playing field, or in this case, the battlefield. 39.
Find that idiot boy and shoot him for me, Cody,
Prof screamed into my ear as I unmuted my mobile.
We're pulling out, John,
Tia said, talking over him.
I'm on my way in the copter. 3 minutes until I arrive. Abraham will blow the cover explosion.
Abraham can go to hell,
Prof spat.
I'm seeing this to the end.
You can't fight a high epic, John, Tia said.
I'll do whatever I want.
His voice cut out.
I've removed him from the feed, Tia said to the rest of us. This is bad. I've never heard him go this far. We need to pull him out somehow, or we'll lose him.
Lose him?
Cody asked, sounding confused. I could hear gunfire through the line near him, and could hear the same gunfire up ahead echoing in the wide corridor. I kept running.
I'll explain later,
Tia said in the type of voice that really meant I'll find a better way to dodge that question later. There, I thought, catching a bit of light up ahead. It was dark outside, but not as pitch black as it was in the tunnel-like confines of the stadium's innards. The gunfire was louder.
I'm pulling us out, Tia continued. Abraham, I need you to blow that explosion in the ground when I say. Cody, have you found David yet? Be warned, Nightwielder might be on your back.
She thinks I'm dead, I thought, because I haven't been answering.
I'm here, I said. David!
Tia said, sounding relieved.
What is your status?
Nightwielder is down, I said, reaching the tunnel out onto the field, one of the ones that the teams had used when running out to play. The UV worked. I think Firefight is gone, too. I drove him off.
What? How?
I'll explain later.
Fair enough, Tia said. We have about 2 minutes until I extract. Get to Cody.
I didn't reply. I was taking in the field. Battlefield is right, I thought, stunned. The bodies of enforcement soldiers lay scattered like discarded trash. Fires burned in several locations, sending smoke twisting up into the dark sky. Red flares blazed across the field, thrown by soldiers to get better light. Chunks had been blown out of the seating and the ground, and blackened scars marred the once silver steel.
You guys have been fighting a war, I whispered.
Then I caught sight of Steelheart. He strode across the field, lips parted and teeth clenched in a sneer. His glowing hand was forward, and he blasted shot after shot toward something in front of him. Prof, running behind one of the team benches, blast after blast nearly hit him, but he ducked and dodged between them. Incredibly nimble. He pushed through a wall in the side of the stadium, his tensors vaporizing and opening for him. Steelheart bellowed in aggravation, firing blasts into the hole. Prof appeared a moment later, breaking out of another wall, steel dust pouring down around him. He whipped his hand forward, throwing a series of crude daggers toward Steelheart. They had likely been cut from the steel itself. They just bounced off the high epic. Prof looked frustrated, as if he were annoyed he couldn't hurt Steelheart. For my part, I was amazed. "Has he been doing this the whole time?" I asked.
"Yeah," Cody said. "Like I said, man's a machine."
I scanned the field to my right and picked out Cody behind some rubble. He was leaning forward on his rifle and tracking a group of enforcement soldiers in the first level seats. They had set up a large machine gun behind some blast shields, and Cody looked pinned down, which explained why he hadn't been able to come find me. I stuffed my handgun into its holster and unwrapped the flashlight from the stock of my rifle.
"I'm almost there, gentlemen," Tia said. "No more attempts to kill Steelheart. All phases aborted. We need to take this chance and leave while we can."
"I don't think Prof is going to go," Abraham said.
"I'll deal with Prof," Tia said.
"Fine,"
Abraham answered. "Where are you going to—"
"Guys," I cut in, "be careful what you say in the general link. I think our lines may be hacked."
"Impossible," Tia said. "Mobile networks are secure."
"Not if you have access to an authorized mobile," I answered. "And Steelheart might have recovered Megan's." There was silence on the line.
"Sparks," Tia said. "I'm an idiot."
"Ah, finally something makes sense," Cody said, firing a shot at the soldiers. "That mobile."
Something moved in the opening to the building behind Cody. I cursed, raising my rifle. But without the stock, it was very hard to aim properly. I pulled the trigger as an armed enforcement soldier leaped out. I missed. He fired a staccato burst. There was no sound from Cody, but I could see the blood spray. "No, no, no," I thought, taking off at a run. I fired again, this time clipping the soldier on the shoulder. It didn't get past his armor, but he turned from Cody, sighting on me. He fired. I raised my left hand, the one with the tensor. I did it almost by instinct. It was tougher to make the song this time, and I didn't know why, but I made it work. I let the song out. I felt something thump against my palm, and a puff of steel dust sprayed off my hand. It smarted something incredible, and the tensor started sparking. A moment later, a series of gunshots sounded, and the soldier dropped. Abraham came around the corner behind the man. Gunfire from above. I dashed and skidded against the ground, sliding behind Cody's cover. He was there, gasping, eyes wide. He'd been hit several times, 3 in the leg, 1 in the gut.
"Cover us,"
Abraham said in his calm voice, whipping out a bandage. He tied it around Cody's leg.
"Tia, Cody is hit badly."
"I'm here,"
Tia said. In the chaos, I hadn't noticed the sounds of the copter.
"I've created new mobile channels using a direct feed to each of you. That's what we should have done the moment Megan lost her mobile. Abraham, we need to extract, now."
I peeked up over the rubble. Soldiers were climbing down from the stands to move on us. Abraham casually pulled a grenade off his belt and tossed it into the hallway behind us in case someone was trying to sneak up again. It exploded, and I heard shouts. I swapped my rifle for Cody's, then opened fire on those advancing soldiers. Some went for cover, but others continued moving. Bold. They knew we were at the end of our resources. I kept firing, but was rewarded with a series of clicks. Cody had been almost out of ammo.
"Here,"
Abraham said, dropping his large assault rifle beside me.
"Tia, where are you?"
"Near your position," she said. "Just outside the stadium. Head straight back and out."
"I'm bringing Cody,"
Abraham said. Cody was still conscious, though he was mostly just cursing at the moment, with his eyes squeezed shut. I nodded to Abraham. I'd cover their retreat. I took up Abraham's assault rifle. To be honest, I'd always wanted to fire the thing. It was a very satisfying weapon to use. The recoil was soft, and the weapon felt lighter than it should have. I set it on the small front tripod and let loose on fully automatic. Dozens of rounds ripping through the soldiers trying to get to us. Abraham carried Cody out the back way. Prof and Steelheart were still fighting. I downed another soldier, Abraham's high-caliber rounds ignoring most of the soldier's armor. As I fired, I could feel the handgun under my arm pressing against my side. We'd never tried firing that. The last of our guesses at how to beat Steelheart. There was no way I could hit Steelheart at this range, though. And Tia had decided to pull us out before we tried it, calling the operation. I gunned down another soldier. The stadium trembled as Steelheart fired a series of blasts at Prof. I can't extract now, I thought, despite what Tia said. I've got to try the gun.
We're in the copter, Abraham said in my ear. David, time to move.
I still haven't tried phase four, I said, climbing up to a kneeling position and firing on the soldiers again. One tossed a grenade my direction, but I was already pulling back into the corridor. And Prof is still out there.
We're aborting, Tia said. Retreat! Prof will escape using the tensors.
He'll never stay ahead of Steelheart, I said. Besides, do you really want to run without trying this? I ran my finger along the gun in its holster. Tia was silent. I'm going for it, I said. If you take heat, pull out. I ran off the field and back into the hallways beneath the stands, holding Abraham's assault rifle and listening to soldiers shout behind me. Steelheart and Prof were moving this direction, I thought. I just need to wrap around and get close enough to fire on him. I can do it from behind. It would work. It had to work. Those soldiers were following me. Abraham's gun had a grenade launcher underneath. Any ammunition? Those were meant to be fired before exploding, but I could use my remote detonator pen and an eraser tab to make one go off. No luck. The gun was out of grenades. I cursed, but then saw the remote fire switch on the gun. I grinned, then stopped, spun, and put the gun on the ground, wedged back against a chunk of steel. I flipped the switch and ran. It started firing like crazy, spraying the corridor behind me with bullets. It probably wouldn't do much damage, but all I needed was a short breather. I heard soldiers yelling at one another to take cover. That would do. I reached another opening and left the hallway, dashing out onto the playing field. Smoke curled in patches from the ground. Steelheart's blasts seemed to smolder after they hit, starting fires on things that shouldn't burn. I raised the pistol, and in a fleeting moment, I wondered what Abraham would say when he learned that I'd lost his gun. Again. I spotted Steelheart, who was turned away from me, distracted by Prof. I ran for all I was worth, passing through clouds of smoke, leaping over rubble. Steelheart started to turn as I approached. I could see his eyes, imperious and arrogant. His hands seemed to burn with energy. I pulled to a halt in the whipping smoke, arms shaking as I raised the gun. The gun that had killed my father. The only weapon that had ever wounded this monster in front of me. I fired three shots. 40. Each one hit, and each one bounced free of Steelheart, like pebbles thrown at a tank. I lowered the gun. Steelheart raised a hand toward me, energy glowing around his palm. But I didn't care. That's it, I thought. We've tried everything. I didn't know his secret. I never had. I had failed. He released a blast of energy, and some primal part of me wouldn't just stand there. I threw myself to the side, and the blast hit the ground beside me, spraying up a shower of molten metal. The ground shook, and the blast threw my roll out of control. I tumbled hard on the unyielding ground. I came to a stop and lay there, dazed. Steelheart stepped forward. His cape had been torn in places from Prof's attacks, but he didn't seem to be anything more than inconvenienced. He loomed above me, hand forward. He was majestic. I could recognize that, even as I readied myself for death at his hands. Silver and black cape flapping, the rips making it look more real somehow. Classically square face, a jaw that any linebacker would have envied, a body that was toned and muscled, but not in the way of a bodybuilder. This wasn't exaggeration. It was perfection. He studied me, his hand glowing.
Yes, he said. The child in the bank.
I blinked, shocked.
I remember everyone and everything, he said to me. You needn't be surprised. I am divine, child. I do not forget. I thought you well and dead. A loose end. I hate loose ends.
You killed my father, I whispered. A stupid thing to say, but it was what came out.
I've killed lots of fathers, Steelheart said. And mothers, sons, daughters. It is my right.
The glow of his hand grew brighter. I braced myself for what was coming. Prof tackled Steelheart from behind. I rolled to the side by reflex as the two hit the ground nearby. Prof came up on top. His clothing was burned, ripped, and bloodied. He had his sword. He began slamming it down in Steelheart's face. Steelheart laughed as the weapon hit. His face actually dented the sword. He was talking to me to draw Prof out, I realized in a daze. Steelheart reached up and shoved Prof, throwing him backward. What seemed like a tiny bit of effort from Steelheart tossed Prof a good 10 feet. He hit and grunted. The winds picked up, and Steelheart floated up to a standing position. Then he leaped, soaring into the air. He came down on one knee, slamming a fist into Prof's face. Red blood splashed out around him. I screamed, scrambling to my feet and running for Prof. My ankle wasn't working properly, though, and I fell hard, hitting the ground. Through tears of pain, I saw Steelheart punch down again. Red. So much red. The High Epic stood up, shaking his bloodied hand.
You have a distinction, little Epic, he said to the fallen Prof. I believe you agitated me more than any before you.
I crawled forward, reaching Prof's side. His skull was crushed in on the left, his eyes bulging out the front, staring sightlessly. Dead.
David!
Tia said in my ear. There was gunfire on her side of the line. Enforcement had found the copter. Go, I whispered.
But
Prof is dead, I said. I am too. Go. Silence. From my pocket, I took the detonator pen. We were in the middle of the field. Cody had placed my blasting cap on the dump of explosives, and it was just beneath us. Well, I'd blow Steelheart into the sky for what good it would do. Several enforcement soldiers rushed up to Steelheart, reporting on the perimeter. I heard the copter thumping as it ascended to leave. I also heard Tia weeping on the line. I pulled myself up to a kneeling position beside Prof's corpse. My father dying before me, kneeling at his side. Go. Run. At least this time I hadn't been a coward. I raised the pen, fingering the button on the top. The blast would kill me, but it wouldn't harm Steelheart. He'd survived explosions before. I might take a few soldiers with me, though. That was worth it.
No, Steelheart said to his troops. I'll deal with him. This one is special.
I looked over at him, blinking, dazed eyes. He'd raised his arm to ward away the enforcement officers. There was something strange in the distance behind him, over the stadium rim, above the luxury suites. I frowned. Light? But that wasn't the right direction. I wasn't facing the city. Besides, the city had never produced a light that grand. Reds, oranges, yellows. The very sky seemed on fire. I blinked through the haze of smoke. Sunlight. Nightwielder was dead. The sun was rising. Steelheart spun about. Then he stumbled back, raising an arm against the light. His mouth opened in awe. Then he shut it, grinding his teeth. He turned back on me, eyes wide with anger.
Nightwielder will be difficult to replace, he growled.
Kneeling in the middle of the field, I stared at the light. That beautiful glow. That powerful something beyond. There are things greater than the epics, I thought. There is life and love and nature herself. Steelheart strode toward me. Where there are villains, there will be heroes. My father's voice. Just wait. They will come. Steelheart raised a glowing hand. Sometimes, son, you have to help the heroes along. And suddenly I knew. An awareness opened my mind, like the burning radiance of the sun itself. I knew. I understood. Not looking down, I gathered up my father's gun. I fiddled with it a moment, then raised it directly at Steelheart. Steelheart sniffed and stared it down.
Well?
My hand quivered, wavering, my arm trembling. The sun backlit Steelheart.
Idiot,
Steelheart said, and reached forward, grabbing my hand and crushing the bones. I barely felt the pain. The gun dropped to the ground with a clank. Steelheart held out a hand, and the air spun around on the ground, forming a little whirlwind underneath the gun that raised it into his fingers. He turned it on me. I looked up at him. A murderer outlined in brilliant light. Seen like that, he was just a shadow. Darkness. A nothingness before real power. The men in this world, epics included, would pass from time. I might be a worm to him, but he was a worm himself in the grand scheme of the universe. His cheek bore a tiny sliver of a scar, the only imperfection on his body. A gift from a man who had believed in him. A gift from a better man than Steelheart would ever be, or ever understand.
I should have been more careful that day, Steelheart said.
My father didn't fear you, I whispered. Steelheart stiffened, gun pointed to my head as I knelt, bloodied before him. He always liked to use his enemy's own weapon against him. That was part of the pattern. The wind stirred the smoke rising around us. That's the secret, I said. You keep us in darkness. You show off your terrible powers. You kill. You allow the epics to kill. You turn men's own weapons against them. You even spread false rumors about how horrible you are, as if you can't be bothered to be as evil as you want to be. You want us to be afraid. Steelheart's eyes widened. Because you can only be hurt by someone who doesn't fear you, I said. But such a person doesn't really exist, do they? You make sure of it. Even the Reckoners, even Prof himself, even me. We are all afraid of you. Fortunately, I know someone who isn't afraid of you, and never has been.
You know nothing,
he growled. I know everything, I whispered. Then I smiled. Steelheart pulled the trigger. Inside the gun, the hammer struck the back of the bullet's casing. Gunpowder exploded, and the bullet sprang forward, summoned to kill. In the barrel, it struck the thing I had lodged there, a slender pen with a button you can click on the top. It was just small enough to fit into the gun, a detonator connected to explosives beneath our feet. The bullet hit the trigger and pushed it in. I swore I could watch the explosion unfold. Each beat of my heart seemed to take an eternity. Fire channeled upward, steel ground ripping apart like paper. Terrible redness to match the peaceful beauty of the sunrise. The fire consumed Steelheart and all around him. It ripped his body apart as he opened his mouth to scream. Skin flayed, muscles burned, organs shredded. He turned eyes toward the heavens, consumed by a volcano of fire and fury that opened at his feet. In that fraction of a sliver of a moment, Steelheart, greatest of all epics, died. He could only be killed by someone who didn't fear him. He had pulled the trigger himself. He had caused the detonation himself. And as that arrogant, self-confident sneer implied, Steelheart did not fear himself. He was, perhaps, the only person alive who did not. I didn't really have time to smile in that frozen moment. But I was feeling it nonetheless as the fire came from me. 41. I watched the shifting pattern of red, orange, and black, a wall of fire and destruction. I watched it until it vanished. It left a black scar on the ground in front of me, surrounding a hole 5 paces wide, the blast crater of the explosion. I watched it all and found myself still alive. I'll admit, it was the most baffling moment in my life. Someone groaned behind me. I spun to see Prof sitting up. His clothing was covered in blood, and he had a few scratches on his skin, but his skull was whole. Had I mistaken the extent of his injuries? Prof had his hand forward, palm out. The tensor he'd been wearing was in tatters.
"Sparks," he said. "Another inch or so, and I wouldn't have been able to stop it."
He coughed into his fist.
"You're a lucky little slants."
Even as he spoke, the scratches on his skin pulled together, healing. "Prof's an epic," I thought. "Prof's an epic." That was an energy shield he created to block the explosion. He stumbled to his feet, looking around the stadium. A few enforcement soldiers were running away, fleeing as they saw him rise. They seemed to want no part of whatever was happening in the center of the field. "How?" I said. "How long?"
"Since calamity,"
Prof said, cracking his neck.
"You think an ordinary person could have stood against Steelheart as long as I did tonight?"
"Of course not. The inventions are all fakes, aren't they?" I said, realization dawning. "You're a gifter. You gave us your abilities. Shielding abilities in the form of jackets, healing ability in the form of the harm sway, and destructive powers in the form of the tensors."
"Don't know why I did it," Prof said. "You pathetic little—"
He groaned, raising his hand to his head, then gritted his teeth and roared. I scrambled back, startled.
"It's so hard to fight," he said through clenched teeth. "The more you use it, the—"
"Ah!" He knelt down, holding his head. He was quiet for a few minutes, and I let him be, not knowing what to say. When he raised his head, he seemed more in control.